The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know, go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new three-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something, defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any sprinkles or showers ending, we'll see partly cloudy skies overnight, light winds, and morning lows in the upper 50s. Tuesday, quite a bit of sunshine. Highs will reach the lower 80s. By Wednesday, a chance of a shower or storm. Highs again in the lower 80s. It's 60 at our studios.
Pat Kreitlow.
On Tuesday, Hans Breitenmoser on whether the corn will be knee-high by the 4th of July, plus Dan Schaefer from the recombobulation area.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9.
Mommy, can I sit in the front seat just this one time? Please, please, please.
No, not yet.
But why?
Because I love you, and you're just not ready yet. Now, get in the back so I can get you in your car seat, please.
Putting your kids in the right seat for their age and size is an act of love. Check that your kids are in the right seat at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Love protects. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
PJ Leash, the bug guy, he heads the entomology department at UW-Madison, and we are talking ticks.
When a deer tick transmits Lyme disease, it takes 36 hours, so about a day and a half. And that's why, in my mind, one of the single best things you can do as a precaution is to do regular tick checks. Because you've removed it, your risk goes down greatly to basically zilch.
Matt Nair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Nightlight with Peach Well.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call, text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up later on this hour after the 10:30 news, we're going to learn about the We Got This Garden in Milwaukee. Alex Brusnan is the executive director of We Got This. It's a chance to get kids involved in growing their own food.
Nice.
Which is a really great thing. So we're going to talk to Alex all about We Got This. And thank you to the listener who sent us this contact, by the way, said you should talk to these people.
And how can people, Jane, if they want to send us an idea for a guest, an idea for a segment, or maybe send us a this shouldn't be a thing suggestion, how would they go about getting in touch?
The easiest way to contact this program, super easy. Jane Says, send an email to Jane Says, JaneSays, Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Like Greg said, if you ever have a guest that you think we should talk to, if there's something going on in your town, it might be Oshkosh, could be Hayward, could be anywhere.
Anywhere in Wisconsin.
Absolutely. Or maybe you have a business that you think should get highlighted on Beyond the Cheese, where we have a business on once a month outside of the dairy industry. Just send all that stuff to Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Wanted to start off with this. We've been talking a lot about the budget bill that is being debated as we speak in Washington right now, and also the state budget bill, which today's the deadline. They can't come to an agreement today, then we're just going to go back to previous spending limits. This is from WPR, a program supporting Wisconsin kids for the last 20 years. is now at risk of losing its dedicated federal funding. Community learning centers serve 20,000 kids at over 160 sites across Wisconsin. The federal program supports kids at high poverty schools through before and after programs, offering academic and social programs and free meals for kids who need it. Last year, the State Department of Public Instruction got about $19 million to fund it. Donald Trump's budget will eliminate this grant. That's the only federal funding stream dedicated to this after-school and summer learning programs.
$19 million.
Which is a pittance.
It's not even. It's a pittance. It is so many zeros after that decimal point when it comes to the totality of the U.S. budget, which I think when we talked about it last week, we were talking about a $33 million cut to a $7.6 trillion budget spending plan. $19
million. $19 million. And I guess what is astonishing to me as we talk about this more and more and more, and we talk about these cuts, $12 million here, $19 million there. They're doing all these cuts, and yet this bill is going to raise the deficit by like $3
trillion. $3 trillion. And that is something that Republicans have said out loud. This is not a Democratic talking point. This is not liberal.
Tom Tillis said that out
Tom
loud.
Tom Tillis. There have been plenty of Republicans. The CBO has said this. And, you know, I hate to belie the point again and again and again, but these cuts we hear about just are based in cruelty. Like, this is, they just want to cut anything that helps people. $19 million to help kids, and you want to, again, we go over and over, Jane, about the long-term planning of it all, the lack of the long-range
goals. The lack
of
foresight.
At least from a political standpoint. From a political standpoint, say, hey, we kept this program. It was $19 million. We raised it to $22 million because it's still nothing, and we're going to take care of our kids. But you said it yourself, in high-poverty schools, and the problem is Republicans, when they hear that, they think of Madison and Milwaukee immediately because, you know, there's no poverty anywhere else.
Obviously not.
None.
No.
Everywhere else.
Just like there's no crime either anywhere else in Wisconsin except the two biggest population centers.
Yeah. So they hear that and it's like, well, why would I cut that? Why would I keep that? Those kids, it's poverty schools. It's Madison and Milwaukee. They don't vote for us anyway. So all this comes to a point of these cuts just seem to be, I mean, Medicaid, Medicare, SNAP. This poverty program, I mean, school for kids in poverty schools, this all is based in a level of cruelty that just seems exact and purposeful because they know that these individuals, folks who take Medicaid, folks who take Medicare, folks who are on SNAP, they don't have bargaining power. They don't have lobbying money. They don't have the ability to walk into an office and get a meeting immediately with the person at the top. So why wouldn't they cut them? They're nothing. They don't matter to us. That's how I feel about it.
President Trump's budget will eliminate this grant again for after-school and summer learning programs. This is part of $12 billion cuts to the U.S. Department of Education that would start October 1st. This amounts to a 15% cut to the agency's budget. This would fulfill Trump's commitments to maintain funding to school districts serving kids from low-income families, but reflects an agency responsibly winding down.
Oh.
And let's not forget Donald Trump campaigned that he was going to eliminate the Department of Education. That's why Linda McMahon from the world of pro wrestling is heading up our Department of Education.
Don't forget failed candidate for governor and senator,
too. Oh, I forgot. That's right. She did.
Yeah. I mean, and if you've watched the cavalcade of buffoonery that has been these budget conferences they've been having with the Congress, whether it's RFK Jr., Cash Patel, but in this manner, let's talk about Linda McMahon. She knows nothing about this. This person is beyond not qualified, where she constantly has to look at the people around her for answers, get notes passed to her.
She gets note cards.
And when she's bereft of words, which coming from the world of wrestling is hilarious to me. But when she's bereft of words, she does the great thing of, I'll get back to you on that.
Well, they've all done that.
Yeah, just short of saying, can I get you an answer in 2 weeks?
That is pretty much the administration response to everything.
2 weeks, everybody.
Everything's coming in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Everything's going to be here in 2 weeks. Trump said that over the weekend, this TikTok deal.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. TikTok deal coming in 2 weeks. We got a buyer for it. I'll tell you who it is in 2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. It is not even a lack of long range planning, Jane. It's just a matter. It's not even a question for them. It's not even. They're not gaming anything out other than just staying in office. So there is no. Here's the long range planning for them. It's staying in office. It's not.
That is the health of the country. That is the plan.
It's not the people. It's not because, you know, when young children have the funding cut for their programs, you know what they immediately do? They reach down and they grab them bootstraps. They pull on them real hard and they all become millionaires because that is the way America does it.
Well, get out in the fields, kids. Come on.
Yeah.
Let's go start picking some stuff.
Make yourself useful.
In Wisconsin, more than 600,000 students have been served by community learning centers over the last 20 years. School leaders say families are going to get hurt if the grant is cut and local funds can't make up the difference. Leighton Cooper, a rec coordinator with the Milwaukee Recreation Department, oversees these community learning centers. He says when we talk about the proposed impact, this loss of money will have the numbers speak for themselves. The rec department is part of Milwaukee Public Schools. It serves more than 5,000 kids at over 30 centers across the city. These cuts happen. These students will no longer have access to meals, recreation, or academic achievement. Do we want our kids to do better in school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I believe that's something once again.
Or is the only answer private schools? The only answer now is privatization and send them to it. Get a voucher. Send them to private school.
Yeah.
That's the only answer.
And as we know, Jane, that money just comes out of the sky. That's just sky money that comes down and pays for school. Oh, no, that's right. It's our tax money.
It is our tax money, yeah. In Green Bay, Emmy Fish is the Associate Director of Community Partnerships for the Green Bay Area Public School District. She says she doesn't want to alarm families, but there are more than 800 students enrolled at community centers across Green Bay. They depend on about $600,000 in federal money, which Fish says cannot be replaced by local dollars. And again, $600,000 in the grand scheme of things is not that much.
$600,000, I mean, it's $19 million. It's $19 million. And before anyone says it, do not look to the state for help. They won't even give you $50 million for reading.
That they already approved.
Yeah. We spoke to Charlie Pittman earlier in the show. In the last hour,
they've given out 10 million of it. The other 40, they're still sitting on.
And it goes away as of today. So they can pat themselves on the back and say, we gave you some. And Robin Voss can say, we gave you more money than ever because you didn't give them any money in the first place. So 10 million is great, but that is 1/20th of what's available. The rest goes away. I think I did that math right. I had my head off the top of the dome.
Sounded good to me.
But do not look to the state for help. They will not give it to you. They don't want to pay for clean water or for education or hospitals. They're not going to get in the way. They're not going to start funding programs that help after school kids in poverty schools. That's just not what's going to happen. This is going to go away. And people may lose their jobs, too, because if these programs pay those adults to be there to execute the programming, then they're going to be without a job. So, again, I'm not even talking about long-term planning. I'm just talking about like 6 months down the road. It's cruel.
Well,
cruel.
But it's, oh, again, Doge came in with the mission of just cut things. So without looking at specifics, without going into the weeds about what does every agency do and who do they cover and what is covered and how does it work? They just went in with an axe and started hacking at stuff.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, the agency realized, oh my gosh, the guy who has the nuclear codes, we fired him 2 weeks ago. Maybe we should bring him back.
And if this is enraging you at all, if this is making you very upset, if this is frustrating you, or at least asking the question, you can go to myvote.wi.gov.
Take advantage of it.
Take advantage of it. Put your information in. They're going to give you a list of all of your representatives from your common council all the way up to the president. There are phone numbers provided. You call those offices. You tell them what's on your mind. If this is something, if you are a parent, a person, or if you're a child listening to this right now and you are affected by this, call your reps. Tell them how you're feeling. If enough people call, they sometimes take action.
Well, and I really do think that that's one of the reasons why this Mike Lee from Utah provision to sell off our public lands, I think there was so much pushback on it that they heard from so many constituents mm-hmm. that they ended up pulling it out.
Yeah.
So sometimes if we make enough noise, it can actually make a difference.
If we all make a noise together, they can't not
make a,
hear us.
Make a great noise.
That is a, I will never say that sentence again.
When we return, we didn't ask for this, but they're going to do it anyway.
Oh.
Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Don't go away.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
We want to help you promote your community event for free. Tell us about your nonprofit group or organization's upcoming event, and we'll help you promote it on The Buzz of the North. Email us the information or a copy of the flyer to community@whsm.com. That's community@whsm.com. You can also drop off your flyer at our office on East 3rd Street in Hayward, or mail it to 16880 W, Highway 63, Hayward, 54843. Hometown Radio Refreshed on 96.9 WBZH.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
This is what I love, Madison. There's so many weird things. Bennett's Meadowood Country Club, which is a bar and not a country club, they have an event called Smut and Eggs. You show up for eggs and you watch a porn film while you eat breakfast. I have trouble watching a PG-13 movie when I eat breakfast. It's more of a dinner thing, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a nice group orgy and some pasta.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
My name is DeMar Hamlin. I play for the Buffalo Bills, and I play safety.
CPR saved my life. I've teamed up with the American Heart Association as a national ambassador to help create a nation of lifesavers, turning bystanders into lifesavers through CPR education and access to AEDs. Nearly 3 out of 4 cardiac arrests that don't happen in hospitals happen in homes. Join me to ensure everyone has the chance to live longer, healthier lives. Visit heart.org/nation.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel.
The Trump administration arresting and deporting these supposed gang members without giving them due process is one of the steps to becoming an authoritarian government.
Dale, thank you so much for the call. And again, I second all of that. Bring them all back and afford them the due process that's a part of our nation, a part of this law, and a part of our tradition in administering justice.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
The Elder Care Locator is here to help you live your best life as you age at home. Our call center advisors are ready to connect you with trustworthy local experts. Help is just a phone call away at 1-800-677-1116.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching in the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Another way you can contact us. If you have the Civic Media app, not only can you call and text directly from the app, but now you can leave a voice note.
A what?
So you download the Civic Media app, which is absolutely free. And once you pick your favorite station, which would be perhaps WAUK, where we broadcast, that's our signal that we broadcast on. You pick WAUK, and then you have 3 options that will come up, and you can call, or you can text, or you can leave a voice note.
Mm-hmm.
And you click that, and then you speak into your phone and record your message, and then you send it to us.
Yeah.
And we can listen back to it.
We appreciate that.
And then we can play it on the air.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty great.
I think it's another great way of getting in touch with us.
And a great way to take part in our wonderful contests. Fridays now, Free Ticket Fridays are back. So coming up this Friday, we will have a keyword for you from 9 to 11. You use the app to text that in, and you are in the running for a four-pack of tickets to see the Milwaukee Brewers club-level seats, baby. Free ticket Fridays. You get five chances, starting with Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, our show, Tom Hartman, 11 to 2, then Todd, 2 to 4, and Maggie Dawn, 4 to 6 p.m. So just make sure you download that Civic Media app.
And something to remember for this week especially, I want to start saying this now so everyone remembers. This Friday is the 4th of July.
It is.
Jane, Calvin, and I will not be here. But not only will we have a highly curated best of episode for you, but there will be a keyword on that episode.
We're still having free ticket Fridays on Friday.
It's a new, fresh word. It will work in your phone. So still, stay tuned. Listen for that show and listen for that keyword. And I just wanted to say that will be for the Friday, July 11th game against Washington.
So, nice.
Yes. Free ticket Friday still happening, even though it's a holiday. And even though Jane, Calvin, and myself will not be here, keep it locked in always in Civic Media because it's going to be a great, fun episode. I hear that audio sorbet is something to be
It's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's one of our favorites. Yeah. So join us coming up this Friday, 4th of July. We will be there to keep you company as you're having your cookouts in the backyard, whatever it is that
you're
going to be
doing. Maybe you're on a pontoon boat.
Where's
my invite?
We need to be boated, Jason. That's what we need. Yes, as we mentioned before we went to the break, nobody asked for this, but they're going to give it to us anyway, Greg Bach. Congressman says nobody asked for the IRS to be Americans' tax preparer. Applauds efforts to shut down the IRS indirect file program. They had debuted this a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
You could file your taxes for free via the federal government. It was kind of a pilot program.
What I really love about that headline, because that is the headline, that is that is what he said. I'm just trying to find the actual. Yeah. Nobody asked for the IRS to be America's tax preparer. I don't know if this congressman knows how the internet works, because you file this. This message is going out to Representative Jason Smith, who's from Missouri. You're not sending the information to a bunch of guys in a room who are writing things down. You're just putting in a new website.
You're filling out a form.
The form crunches the numbers, and then it gets sent to the IRS, and then it's at the IRS. But here's the thing, Jane, is you're eliminating a middleman.
Oh, what would that be like, I don't know, tax-preparing companies like H&R Block and other companies that we have to pay?
TurboTax
to file our taxes? Yes. Would they have perhaps been lobbying against this
for a long time, Jane.
Big shocker there.
Yeah. So I just love this idea because this just goes back to the notion of like the lawmaker a long time ago who said the internet's a series of tubes. Like nobody asked for the IRS to be America's tax preparer. We're not asking the IRS to be our tax. We're just saying here's a website, put some numbers in. And there you go. If your taxes are super complicated, you have a tax person.
Right. And you're not going to be able to use this.
Yes.
But remember when Paul Ryan was still in office and he talked about the tax and spend and all? We're going to be able to fill out our taxes on a postcard, you guys.
Yep.
No. That still hasn't happened. And the direct file program was very, very popular, according to taxpayers and voters on all sides. There was a poll conducted in April. 82% of likely voters supported expanding direct file to all Americans. But it's okay, you guys. Mr. Smith, we didn't ask for it, so they're going to take it away.
Yeah.
Even though it was really popular and a lot of us would have liked to have seen it expanded.
Nobody asked for it, maybe. I know, actually, that's not true. People have asked for it. There have been advocate groups who have asked for a system like this. So it has been asked for, and it has been used, and it has been liked by many
popular
people. So, Mr. Smith, I don't know who you're speaking to. Either you are inept of the info or lying to our faces, but again.
He's doing this for us, Greg. Last year, 90% of surveyed users about this direct file rated their experience as excellent or above average. So let's kill it.
Yep. This is more fraud, Jane.
I gotta take care of my donors, my TurboTax people, and
H&R Block,
and all those. Yeah, let's find out who Mr. Smith's donors are.
Yeah,
we'll check on that while we go to the news. Stay close. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Vast, statewide, countrywide. You can get us global if you have the app. Civic Media Radio Network.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. As Wisconsin is saying the word bag instead of bag, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm Stephanie Officer. Idaho College murder suspect Brian Koberger has agreed to plead guilty to all counts in the killings of four college students, sparing him from the death penalty.
According to sources, Brian Koberger will plead guilty to all four counts of murder and will be sentenced to four consecutive life sentences with no possibility of parole, and is waiving all rights to an appeal in this proposed deal.
ABC's Kana Whitworth, in a statement, one of the victim's families say they were not called about the plea and they're frustrated. Central Mexico is being drenched by the remains of Tropical Storm Barry, which made landfall as a tropical depression Sunday afternoon. ABC's Jim Ryan.
Only two tropical storms have been spawned this season in the Atlantic, but the Pacific has given birth to six, including Hurricane Eric, which killed 23 people and did $200 million damage when it slammed southwest Mexico 11 days ago. So far, the United States has been untouched by this year's tropical storms.
This is ABC News.
The Brewers head to New York. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Baseball, the Brewers on their way to Queens, New York, where they'll face the Mets tomorrow night. The crew losing to the Rockies yesterday, 4-3 in 11 innings. The game began with Rockies manager Warren Schaefer and batter Tyler Freeman arguing with the umpire about balls and strikes, both ejected. I asked Brewers pitcher Chad Patrick how it went for him.
That first inning was definitely a grind. I felt like I was making good pitches, just trying to get rewarded a little bit, how close they were. Said something, you know. Go on from there, but he ended up being right.
Basketball, the Milwaukee Bucks have reached a new three-year deal with Bobby Portis Jr. worth as much as $44 million. Head coach Doc Rivers.
Listen, Bobby, he's been fantastic. Every night he gives us something, defensively with his hands and his rebound.
And former Buck Malik Beasley, now with the Pistons, under investigation for gambling. Beasley accused of betting on NBA games 2 years ago while with Milwaukee. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Apple Films' F1 is definitely a hit, but will it be a financial success? Sounds like a strange question, but prognosticators are curious. The film opened number one with a $57 million domestic haul and has brought in $145 million worldwide. The Brad Pitt-Jerry Bruckheimer effort received excellent reviews, but still landed a little short of expectations. How to Train Your Dragon came in second place with just under $20 million and a less than 50% drop-off in week three, giving it a domestic total of just over $200 million. Disney Pixar's Elio, although a bit of a disappointment, still came in third place with just over $10 million at the gate. Megan 2.0 underperformed as well, earning much less than the first chapter of the film, coming in at about $10 million domestically. Rounding out the top five was 28 Years Later, which came in just under $10 million in its second week of release. Fasten your seatbelts, though, moviegoers. A dinosaur invasion is happening tomorrow. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Distinguished television journalist Bill Moyers died June 26th at age 91. In his long career, he earned 30 Emmy Awards, served as President Lyndon Johnson's press secretary, and was a stalwart voice for democracy and democracy reform. On Being a Reporter, Moyers told a Chautauqua Institution audience in 2016, "I was hooked, and in one way or another, I've continued to engage the issues of money and power, equality and democracy over a lifetime spent at the intersection between politics and journalism." From 1964 to 1967, he served as Johnson's press secretary during the passage of the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act. He was instrumental in the creation of public broadcasting, where he later reported for almost a decade. He wrote scores of commentaries for CBS and NBC and produced 70 documentaries for PBS. Democracy and democracy reform appears frequently in Moyers' work, including his Moyers on Democracy podcast and a companion book of speeches. When Moyers retired in 2017, he wrote, Please remain vigilant and engaged as citizens in the civic and political life of your community and our country. Democracy is fragile, and no one can say with certainty that it can withstand the manifold risks to which it is now exposed. We've linked to his farewell essay and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
As Wisconsin is cheering on the Brew Crew, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Any sprinkles or showers ending, we'll see partly cloudy skies overnight, light winds and morning lows in the upper 50s. Tuesday, quite a bit of sunshine. Highs will reach the lower 80s. By Wednesday, a chance of a shower or storm. Highs again in the lower 80s. Right now, it's 64.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
It's National Handshake Day, but I find the idea that you just meet someone and you're holding a body part of theirs kind of odd. Hello, stranger. I'd like to squeeze your hand. Let's have an intimate act here. I have no idea where it's been or how you choose to use your hand in your spare time, but I'd like to hold it for a while. Unless it's a friend. Look, I don't know why we have to touch each other when we barely know each other.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Indy Duttagupta, he is with the Center for Law and Social Policy.
The Trump administration's agenda is reducing economic growth. The programs that they're proposing cutting, like Medicaid and SNAP, especially for kids, actually more than pay for themselves. So we are really looking at a tough long-term economic outlook entirely created by the current policymakers.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Maggie Dawn.
On the next show, what happens if 20 million people lose their health insurance? Kristen Krall from Fair Share America joins Maggie to talk about the Stop the Billionaire Giveaway bus tour.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, and Cal B on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by our next guest. And thank you to Sue from Franklin, who is the one who emailed us at janesays@civicmedia.us and said you should talk to these people. So Alex Bresnan is here. He is the executive director of We Got This Milwaukee. Alex, thank you so much for being here. How are you doing this morning?
Real good. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. Again, Sue had one of our listeners had reached out to us and said you should talk to this organization. They're fantastic. So tell us a little bit about We Got This in Milwaukee and it's a gardening project essentially that you do, right?
Yeah, so we're located in the 53206 zip code. 53206 is the poorest zip code in the state of Wisconsin. And our zip code has over 800 vacant lots that the city owns. And it's a ton of land, a tremendous amount of land. And, you know, anytime a piece of property isn't owned by an individual or an organization, I mean, it's taken care of, but it tends to be a liability yep. more than an asset.
Sure.
And so, you know, we got this, was started about 15 years ago by a man named Andre Lee Ellis, and we take vacant lots inside the city of Milwaukee, specifically right around our neighborhood, and we transform them into gardens. And we do that by employing young people from the neighborhood on Saturday mornings in the summer. So last Saturday or 2 days ago, we had about 150 kids come out, and they're slowly building out these garden spaces in the neighborhood.
That's really cool.
That's amazing.
That is cool. This must be a first for some of these kids to be this active in gardening, I would imagine.
Gardening and work in general. And, you know, I think as adults, we take for granted, you know, we go to work, we do things, and we provide an income for ourselves and for our family. But kids in my neighborhood, I live around the corner from the We Got This Garden. You know, kids in my neighborhood don't necessarily get that first opportunity. When I was 12, I was mowing my neighbor's lawn and she gave me $10 after it. And you learn, okay, I do work that has a value and that I'm paid for that work.
Right.
You know, in our neighborhood, you don't have those opportunities. So yes, for many of the kids, it's their very first work opportunity, which is great. We love that because we get to teach them, here is how you work. There's a difference between work and play, and, you know, work requires effort. And we'll walk you through that process, but we do expect, you know, you to be working when you're at work.
Well, and it's, as you said, though, Alex, it's just the basics of you have to show up on time. You have people who
are...
I have
to tell you about that in a second.
Yeah, but I mean, I knew someone who was a teacher at a high school, and he was in charge of the theater department, and they had a spring play every year. And one year, the kid who was the lead actor in the play just didn't show up. And he said, well, I had something else to do. It's a commitment. Yeah, you have to stay with this.
And I'm really glad you brought up showing up on time. So we have a capacity at We Got This. So, you know, throughout the year, we collect donations and, you know, the kids are paid through the donations to the organization. We're a 501c3. And so somewhere in the late winter, early spring, we set our capacity based, you know, how much money we have divided by 12 weeks of the summer program. That's how many kids can show up.
Sure.
So our capacity is somewhere around between 125 and 150. And we have we've established a little bit of notoriety in the neighborhood to the point where kids are showing up earlier and earlier and earlier. The first kid showed up on Saturday at 6 o'clock in the morning and we started 8. So.
Wow.
Just to get a spot. And we reached capacity at 7:40. And unfortunately, we had to turn some kids away because we only got so much money.
Right.
But yeah, it's and we expect, you know, each week progressively throughout the rest of the summer that we'll reach capacity earlier and earlier, which has been what's happened historically.
So it's essentially, though, once you reach your max, that's it. That whoever shows up that day who wants to take part, you're going to take it's first come, first serve.
Correct.
And are you seeing kids coming through like every week? Like you see the same faces coming through and they're like, it's like a job to them. It's a once a week job for them. They're doing the thing. And you know, I gotta get up at 5:30. Gotta get over to the site and get my spot.
Yeah. We have a lot of regular kids. I would say about, of the 150, about 20% were new, this past week. So we still get some new kids, you know, word of mouth. But we have a lot of returners. And this year, we've really started to add different layers of leadership into the programming. And so we have dedicated student leaders that help lead little groups. I was a school teacher and an administrator for 15 years. And so we run it like you would run a school. So there's different classes that the kids go into, and that's just the group that they're a part of. But we have like some of that, some of those, what would be like the teacher of the group is a 19-year-old that was in the program the last 3 years. And so we try to keep establishing different layers of leadership so that, you know, kids can kind of grow as we grow and then take on more responsibility.
That's so valuable, Alex. Jeez. Seriously, though, to give some of these kids the opportunity to learn what it takes to manage what it learned. I mean, it's just this hands-on experience that's just got to make such a difference for these kids. If you're just joining us, Alex Brusnan is our guest. We're talking about the We Got This Garden that is in Milwaukee and runs over the summer. And I'm, what do you hear from these kids after the first month? Say that they've been returning for a month. What are you hearing from some of these kids?
Well, you know, when the kids get paid out at the end of the day on Saturday, you know, I'm pretty aware of the fact that I have to like ask them these specific questions. You know, what did you learn? And then they'll tell me, okay, I learned, you know, whatever the gardening task was. I learned how to plant potatoes because we planted potatoes yesterday. I would say, you know, 9 out of 10 kids will tell you they had a good time. Because, you know, work, you're supposed to enjoy the work that you do.
Right.
And as an adult, you strive for that, right? You want to be doing these things that you enjoy. And then we talk a ton about what you're proud of. Because most of the kids live in the neighborhood. And they'll walk by we have a garden that we installed next to a liquor store. So we call it the liquor store garden. And so, you know, some of the kids live next to the liquor store garden and walk by it all the time. And so you'll hear from them like, oh, I was walking by on Thursday and I saw the zinnias coming up because we're growing some flowers over there. And, you know, they'll tell me, OK, well, you know, I was reminded of when I put those boxes together or I filled those boxes or I planted those flowers. And so you can tell, you know, it's doing something in the neighborhood in terms of creating a sense of pride in the community.
And it's something they're going to remember, too. I mean, also, like, just the notion of them walking past the garden and not just say, like, to hear a child say the zinnias are coming in is something that would make me so happy, but also to look at him and be like, oh, I make sure next week you water it a little bit more or do this thing because I'm noticing.
Right.
Like they're also understanding the process of how plants and gardening works, that they can troubleshoot something maybe in someone else's garden. Like, oh, I used to work in a gardening place and I can tell you need more water or you need this soil. And that is something you can be proud of, but that's also an employable skill.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talk about that a lot, you know, the little tasks that you do. All a job is a set of, or a series of little tasks that you do, and you try to do them at a high level. And so you can take, you know, what you learned here, you may not go and be a gardener, but if you work construction, you know, you got to learn how to measure and cut and make sure that it looks right and, you know, have a high attention to detail. And so we talk about all those things. So each at sort of towards the end of the workday, the kids sit in a circle with their group leader and we have a series of questions that they kind of run through, really because we want them to reflect on the experience that they're having. Yes, you get $20 and that's cool and fun. And we have a dedicated group of lunch ladies that come and provide lunch right at the end of it. But we want you to stop and think for a second, you know, what did you do? How did you add value to the community? Because in our community, it's a struggle over here. There's not a lot of things that you can point at and look at and say, I added value to this. This gives kids an opportunity to say that they were able to do that.
I know. And I don't want to say it's only $20. It's $20. And to a kid, $20 is a lot. Is there any talk about hey, what am I going to do with this $20? Am I going to spend five on myself, put 15 away? Or do you have discussions on financial literacy with the pay they get?
Yeah, we do. We talk, and that's you know, two of the 12 weeks, we'll talk about some of those financial literacy components, assets versus liabilities, and how to avoid going into debt. Nice. And okay, now you have this $20 and you've come for 10 weeks in a row. Now you have $200. You know, by the end of the summer, do you want $200 in your pocket to maybe buy yourself school clothes for the year? Or do you want to spend it at the corner store on Flamin' Hots or whatever kids buy?
And is there more leaning towards the Flamin' Hots? I'm just curious.
I think, you know, like I said, I worked in schools for a very long time, and part of my time was working at an alternative school. And you get some kids who have a really negative disposition towards school and work and sometimes just existing in the world.
Yeah.
But when you stop an individual and you have, what you know, hopefully perceive to be a meaningful conversation with them about and help them think about what it might be like 10 weeks from now, mm-hmm. to have something that's a little bit different than you have today, you'd be surprised. A lot of them will say, yeah, I saved up my 20s and I went, you know, I don't know where they go, but
right.
Wherever they go to buy, you know, shoes or pants or clothes. A lot of times it's clothes for school.
Which is fantastic. Yeah. And I give them a lot of credit for that, because there are adults who cannot hang on to money and think about the long-term reward down the road.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a really valuable thing. I just think what you're doing is so important, especially if you are not seeing that in your community or your family history.
Right.
It's just so important. Alex Brusnan is our guest. He is the executive director of We Got This Garden here in Milwaukee.
And I think that there must be some kids who think, you know, I'm just going to go garden and get $20. And then after the summer, like, oh, no, I've learned a whole host of things. Because that's the thing. Everything you've been talking to us about, Alex, is not just the gardening is a component, but it's a piece of the entire puzzle that they walk away and go, oh, I got lessons in life from this.
Yeah, whether they like it or not. I'm going to make sure that they get them.
I wanted to buy Takis, but man, I bought good shoes for school.
Instead. Oh. Alex, we only have about 2 minutes left. Is there a big banquet at the end of the summer? I mean, with all of this stuff that they've harvested and stuff?
Yeah. Oh, sure. So all the food is given out to the community. So kids take the food when it's harvested. They can take it home with them. Otherwise, it's just given back out to the community.
Awesome.
We do at the end of the season, we have, you know, just our end of the year celebration. And we'll do like a big back to school kind of giveaway. And so we'll source things. I should mention our website, wegotthismke.com. We have an Amazon wish list that will be more focused towards end of the year items. And, you know, we've a couple thousand dollars worth of back to school items have been donated in the past, and we anticipate will be donated again, just to give out to the kids. And so we do kind of a big celebration.
We're going to include your link in our show notes so people can find out how they want to get involved. Do you use volunteers? I would imagine you do.
Yeah, and actually, you called me the executive director, but I'm just a volunteer. We're all volunteers. We have no paid staff. 75% of our budget goes directly to the kids. The rest is to, like, pay the taxes and the water and buy dirt. You got to buy dirt a lot. So, Jane, if a listener wanted to follow along, we have a podcast that kind of, like, is like a weekly recap. It's called the 53206 Cast. If a listener wanted to follow along, we give like weekly updates on We Got This.
Fantastic.
I'll put that in the show notes as well.
Alex Brusnan is with We Got This Garden Milwaukee. It's been so interesting, Alex. Thank you so much for your time. Really, really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Coming up, we'll wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Hush Your Mouth edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
I love playing sports, especially for my school. And that's because school sports are special. It's where it's safe to fail. It's where we're taught resilience, where our fear becomes confidence. It's where we learn to get back up after every fall. School sports are where 7.8 million students go from I can't to I can.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Look up cheese curds. You'll find this basic definition: wet pieces of curdled milk.
Huh?
Well, it should also include the word delicious. As we continue to celebrate June Dairy Month, do you know how much milk is needed to make 1 pound of cheese curds? 16 ounces, 64 ounces, or 160 ounces, 10 pounds of milk? The answer coming up.
It actually is a sound of freshness.
Rachel Kerr is talking about squeaky curds. She's with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and a bit of a cheese nerd.
Those elastic protein strands rub against the enamel of your teeth and create that characteristic sound.
The squeak turns stretchy when battered and deep fried. Some believe the idea to fry globs of cheese happened by accident. I consider it a happy accident. Okay, did you guess? It takes 10 pounds of milk, which is a big gallon jug plus a little bit more, to make 1 pound of squeaky cheese curds. Call me your curd girl for this slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones in your area. Check 511WI.gov or download the free 511 app to see current road work, closures, detours, and camera views on your route. Wherever your travels take you, know before you go with 511WI.gov. That's 511WI.gov. And remember, know before you go. Always park the phone while driving. Sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
Tracy Ann Mangold, how would you describe what it is that Brian Schimming is caught in the crossfires of?
He's the first paid state chair that they've ever had. And so the belief was that maybe that'll increase his ability to fundraise for the state. Obviously, that has not worked out so well. I've been told that he thinks 4 phone calls a day to fundraise is a lot, which, you know, isn't.
104 might be a good start.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel. I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear.
Folks, can we have a moment of honesty? Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them? Get rid of the stigma. If I walk into this room eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Matt Nair on Air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin is brats on the grill for a tailgate, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to pre-recorded content.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. So great to talk to Alex Brusnan from We Got This Garden Milwaukee. If you would like to learn more, Check out the show notes at civicmedia.us. Greg is working on them as we speak. We have links to just about everybody that we talk to and articles that we talk about and all those things. You will find them at civicmedia.us. Click on shows and go to Matt Nair on Air. Tomorrow is July.
Whatever. Good Lord.
I remember at the end of June, May, we said, tomorrow is June. It's like, how did this happen? Yes, tomorrow is the 1st of July.
I remember when it was like, hey, 2025 is already here. My goodness.
Pat Kreitlow from Up North, or Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, will be joining us tomorrow after 9:35. He had a wonderful explainer last week about the Wisconsin Supreme Court decision regarding the maps in Wisconsin and some other things that the Wisconsin Supreme Court came down with last week. So Pat will be joining us tomorrow after the 9:30 news. I hope you can do so as well. Calvin, 10:54, that means it's time for
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As always, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays at civicmedia.us, J-A-N-E-S-A-Y-S, janesays at civicmedia.us. This is from Scripps News. Nobody with the byline. Headline reads,
nobody wanted it.
Kings Island visitors warned to keep mouth closed on amusement park rides because of cicadas. This is from last month. Brood 14 out and about in Mason, bringing uninvited guests to one of the area's biggest attractions, Kings Island in Mason, Ohio. I've heard a lot about this from friends who are big roller coaster fans. It's supposed to be fabulous, Kings Island. Roller coasters, everything else. Unfortunately, Brood 14 of cicadas were so bad this year that they had to tell people going on rides to make sure they kept their mouths closed so you didn't get a mouthful of cicada.
That to me is just a free meal at a park because food is expensive there. You want to get a funnel cake? It's like $40.
Good protein there in those cicadas.
Yeah.
Over the weekend, several people shared their experiences of cicadas joining them at the amusement park, including Mom Hope Daniels, who shared the moment when her son Oliver realized a cicada landed on him. He loves all things bugs and earth, but when it comes to cicadas, I don't know if it's the legs or whatever, they creep him out. She was one of many sharing their cicada-filled trip to this amusement park. I think we're starting to embrace and make them our friends. We're taking them with us everywhere. On roller coasters.
In our hair. Right?
In our hair. Enjoy the cicadas when you're on the ride, but keep your mouth closed.
To me, that's very funny, actually. Chris on the text line says, what about one in the eye? Ouch. Absolutely. Those things are like hard shell little tacos coming right at you.
So you're still going to be bombarded with cicadas in your face.
But the notion of like, let's think about it. Like, all right, the advice is to keep your mouth closed while being on the roller coaster. You think to yourself, okay, I'll just do that. What do you do on a roller coaster when it goes down the big hill?
You scream.
You scream. So it's either can you imagine just a car full of no voices or just nothing. It's dead silence as you're just like,
nobody says a word.
How about we just wait until cicada season is over and then we go?
I'm thinking, what about little Devo helmets?
Little Devo.
With a little face shield.
Oh, that's.
And then they can be pink, pink.
And you can scream all you want.
Hear them, and you can scream and you can see them bouncing off your shield. I'm trying to help.
Just the notion. I just go back to the conversation we had last year. I love that cicadas have evolved in a way where they come back at odd times. So because predators can't understand.
Yes, to throw them off.
To throw them off.
Yes. Like, yes.
How do we stay alive? Let's come back in 17
they
years.
They will never see us coming.
Exactly.
They will never see us coming.
Unless you're on a roller coaster, then they're coming right for your face.
Apparently, things have gotten a little bit better since last month But there have been some pretty amusing photos taken, because you can always get photos of you riding down the and everybody's riding with their lips shut going.
Every day this show is called, every day this segment's called something, and you wanted to call it the Wheel Edition. I'm like, I can't spell that. We're having so much fun, I can't.
That wraps up today's edition of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up, news is on the way, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2. Todd Alba, we have Trigby and Pat Kreitlow, guest hosting for Todd Alba today. And for Maggie Dawn today from 4 to 6, it's Matt Rothschild and the wonderful Angela Lang.
Love Angela.
Love
Lang
Angela
so much.
As well. So keep it right here. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers. Without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and get the chance to share it. News is coming up next. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Distinguished television journalist Bill Moyers died June 26th at age 91. In his long career, he earned 30 Emmy Awards, served as President Lyndon Johnson's press secretary, and was a stalwart voice for democracy and democracy reform. On Being a Reporter, Moyers told a Chautauqua Institution audience in 2016, "I was hooked, and in one way or another, I've continued to engage the issues of money and power, equality and democracy over a lifetime spent at the intersection between politics and journalism." From 1964 to 1967, he served as Johnson's press secretary during the passage of the Civil Rights Act and Voting Rights Act. He was instrumental in the creation of public broadcasting, where he later reported for almost a decade. He wrote scores of commentaries for CBS and NBC and produced 70 documentaries for PBS. Democracy and democracy reform appears frequently in Moyers' work, including his Moyers on Democracy podcast and a companion book of speeches. When Moyers retired in 2017, he wrote, "Please remain vigilant and engaged as citizens in the civic and political life of your community and our country. Democracy is fragile, and no one can say with certainty that it can withstand the manifold risks to which it is now exposed." We've linked to his farewell essay and more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. During a recent appearance at Fuel Fest.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Stephanie Officer. Jury deliberations are expected to continue today at former music mogul Sean Diddy Combs' sex trafficking trial in New York. Jurors getting the case Monday. ABC's Aaron Katursky.
The 8 men and 4 women are deciding whether Combs ran a criminal enterprise with employees who prosecutors said serviced the defendant's every desire through a methodical pattern of violence, coercion, and manipulation, procured drugs, and stocked hotel rooms with baby oil and lubricant. Combs has denied all the charges, and the defense argued his employees were simply buying items for a celebrity boss, telling the jury, "You know, I don't expect that we're going to see Beyonce in CBS."
The winner of New York City's Democratic mayoral primary between progressive Zoran Mamdani and former Governor Andrew Cuomo is likely to be finalized today when the city's Board of Elections announces the next round of results. Mamdani already declared victory on election night after gaining a commanding lead over Cuomo, who quickly conceded. This is ABC News.